General Secretary of the Socialist Party, Peter Tapp. And Peter is also on the leading committee of the CWI, the Committee for Workers International. Now, Peter recently wrote a book review of a book on Trotsky. And the author of this book is a professor of Russian history at Oxford University called Robert Service. Now, Service did a hatchet job on Trotsky and is now too afraid, it seems, to debate with Peter the life of Trotsky and the ideas of Trotsky at any event at all. And he was invited to speak at this event this weekend, Socialism 2009, and said he absolutely wouldn't debate with Peter. And also he's refused an invitation from Moscow. Peter's going to Moscow later this month to debate the ideas of Trotsky, and Service has refused to also go into a discussion on the ideas of Trotsky with Peter in Moscow. Peter Tan.
Comrade Chair and comrades, what a marvellous rally we've had tonight at this 2009 event of socialism. The theme of the platform speeches so far has been the need for a militant class struggle policy for the labour movement, particularly for the trade unions and the working class movements in general, but the need to link that to the idea of socialism, which we were told 20 years ago, and Monday is the anniversary of this event, that the idea of socialism, the idea of Marxism, the very idea of the class struggle was buried under the rubble of the Berlin Wall. What was defeated 20 years ago in Eastern Europe and in Russia was not the ideas of genuine socialism, but was, unfortunately, the ideas of Stalinism, of totalitarianism, of a one-party regime, which has nothing in common with the genuine ideas of socialism itself. And socialism is not a utopian idea. It's not an unrealistic idea. It flows from the incapacity of capitalism, ably described on this platform tonight, to deliver the basics for ordinary working class people in Britain and internationally. Gordon Brown has now discovered that what he preached in the 1990s, that his government and others in the capitalist world had overcome the inherent contradictions of capitalism, particularly the booms and slumps, which, as Leon Trotsky pointed out, was like inhaling and exhaling in a human body. The only difference is the older that the body gets, like some of the people on this platform, but not me, the more difficult it becomes to breathe. In other words, the crises become deeper, they become sharper, and of course, at the sharp end, are working class people themselves. And the truth of the matter is that for the last 20, 30 years in reality, we've had a massive financial bubble in world capitalism. Underneath that bubble, there was really a stagnation of the productive forces. As a result of this bubble, we've had the greatest concentration of wealth on the one side, the greatest gap between rich and poor in the history of capitalism, apart from the period immediately before the 1917 October Revolution. And by the way, today is the anniversary of the October Revolution of 1917. I'm not saying we're on the eve of such an event now, but perhaps it has some significance against the enormous concentration and discrepancy amongst the classes and in relation to the share out of wealth. Now, we have, in the course of this crisis, the banks being accused of holding society to ransom. And that is absolutely correct. But it's not just the banksters. It's not just the bankocracy that's responsible for this crisis. This is a crisis of the system itself. It did not drop from the sky. It was not unanticipated. We, from platforms like this, with much smaller meetings than this, predicted in broad outline that the situation you're experiencing today would inevitably develop on the basis of the contradictions of capitalism. But we were a little bit like that woman, I think it was 30 years ago, in 1987, many of you are too young to remember this, but a few people on the platform will remember. And that was the hurricane that shook the south of England at that stage. And there was a famous weather forecaster, I think he was called Michael Fish. He had very fancy ties, that's what I remember when he appeared on the television. And he appeared one night before the hurricane. And he said, some woman has phoned up from the Isle of Wight and is predicting a hurricane. She's off her trolley. Or words to that effect. We were that woman that was saying the hurricane is likely to strike, not tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, but inevitably, on the basis of the contradictions of this system, that would be the situation that will develop. And what is the position that we face today? The most devastating economic crisis, let us remember, since the 1930s. In the US alone, in 2 years, 8 million workers have lost their jobs. And 1 million have been created, 1 million jobs have been created through the so-called stimulus packages of Obama. In Britain, we have a similar situation as well. Of course, if there's a recovery, that's inevitable on the basis of capitalism. Socialists and Marxists have always argued, unless the working class seizes the opportunity to mobilise to change society, it's inevitable that there will be a certain recovery in relation to capitalism itself. The question is, what is the character of that recovery? Is it green shoots or is it green weeds? Is it going back to the situation of 3 or 4 years ago? No serious representative of capitalism expects yesterday to appear tomorrow. There's an academic discussion taking place in the five pages of the capitalist press today. Do we face a recession? Do we face a depression? By the way, 2 million poor children in Britain are living in households where nobody is working at the present time. 170,000 has been added to this figure of 2 million as a reflection of what is taking place. If you want to know what a depression is like, it's already there in Latvia, where there's 30% of the workers in the private and the public sector who've been sacked. Where half the hospitals have been closed down in Latvia in the recent period. Go to California, one of the richest countries in the world. If it was a country, it would be the 8th richest in the world. That's devastated by this economic depression or recession, call it what you will. But it means that the position in California is tens of thousands of workers are now living out on the streets. It's a failed state. Much as Iraq was a failed state for George Bush, on the basis of capitalism, this is a failed state. I won't even mention Detroit, which was once one of the richest cities in America in the whole of its history, where there's 30% unemployment at the present time. And if you think we're going to escape this, the Evening Standard carried an article of a few weeks ago that said, be prepared to work 7 more years. Not us, not the older generation, but you, the youth of this country, added to the 1 million young people who are unemployed at the present time, who will go up to 1.25 million if unemployment climbs to 3 million or 3.5 million. That's the future which is sketched out for working people and particularly for the youth on the basis of capitalism. And George Osborne says, well, we're all in this together. By the way, this is the man who actually claimed on his parliamentary expenses £40 for 2 DVDs. They were DVDs of the speeches that he'd made in the House of Commons. Individual. This is the man, the shallow Chancellor, as the City of London say. This is the man, they say, if he utters the word I think, then he should take a lie detector test. That is the analysis not of us, but of his own peers in the City of London itself. There's an enormous campaign, contradicted by the marvellous speeches that have been made here tonight. The working people have no alternative but to accept the medicine which is being prepared for them by capitalism. But as Keith pointed out, as Bob, as Matt have marvellously explained, and Brian, working people are fighting back. Look at Vistian, look at Lindsay, look at Linnemar, look at Vestas, look at the tremendous strike that's taking place in Leeds at the present time. Really a ferocious resistance on the part of the working class there, of local government workers who've been expected to actually take a 33% cut in their wages, in their income. That's a dress rehearsal, by the way, of what will take place if a Tory government comes to power. And by the way, the leader of the Leeds City Council is a Lib Dem. No wonder Nick Clegg has said the future belongs to progressive austerity. A contradiction in terms if you don't believe it. But on the picket line, look the way these workers have marvellously improvised. For instance, according to the Daily Mirror yesterday, the police are actually banning the ordinary strikers from shouting at those workers who cross the picket line scan. So what have the pickets yelled back? They've yelled back sausage, chips and bacon. When you caution them against the use of the word W, they shouted back tanker. And when they said, you bastards, they said, where's your mum and dad? A marvellous improvisation of the funeral of working class. We've had two general strikes in France this year. We've unfortunately had two sides of the working class today, of workers in desperation against the dictatorship of capital in the factories committing suicide, in, for instance, British Telecom. But other workers have actually taken to the road of struggle, and some so desperate that they mined their own factory with dynamite this summer in order to prevent redundancies taking place. That's a warning, by the way, to the labour movement in Britain, that unless a conscious leader is given, unless we can win the best representatives of the working class and ordinary working class people, then on the basis of what's going to develop in Britain and internationally, such are the social tensions that this generation is not going to wait. It will move into action. The choice is whether it's going to be a conscious movement or we will experience what we saw in the 1980s with the riots that took place in Liverpool, in St. Paul's, and of course in London at that particular moment in time. These strikes I've mentioned are only the visible expression of the colossal, seething discontent that exists amongst working class people at the situation they face. There is no leadership from the summits of the labour movement, apart from the comrades who've spoken here tonight and perhaps one or two others. Where is the leadership from the General Secretary of Unison? They don't attack the bosses, they attack their own members. They attack the militants, the four members of the Socialist Party who are up for expulsion from Unison or are up for being disciplined and banned from office. In this situation, we need the best of the working class to be in the front line. It's absolutely criminal what the Unison leadership are doing at the present time and must be resisted not just by Unison members. But the whole of the working class movement. I would suggest to you, comrades, brothers and sisters, that implicit in the occupations we've seen taking place this year, and in the actions of Keith Gibson, is an implicit refusal to recognise now the dictates of the bosses in the factories. Their right to close factories, like a child closes if you like, a matchbox. That's what happened in Vestas. That's what happened in Vistian. That's what happened in the marvellous victory that took place in Linnemar by Rob and by the Socialist Party, the leadership that was provided there. Private ownership is not superior to the kind of ideas we're putting forward. Don't take my word for it. This is the headline on the Financial Times. The free market is not up to the job of creating wealth. That is enough to condemn this system and say it should be removed. They're prepared to take away all the hard-earned rights that working people have been fighting for. Look at the actions of the government towards the banks, already commented on, where in effect there's been an 84% nationalisation of some of the banks, of RBS. And yet this week the government has injected more into RBS. Even the Independent says, why not nationalise the whole of the banking sector? They're not, by the way, saying it should be done, as we say, it should be permanent, it should be nationalised, renovated, and then handed back to the banksters to continue with their activity. This is not the way forward in a sensible, sane way to deal with the problems that are confronting working class people at the present time. And the character of New Labour has been shown in all these crucial battles. It was shown in Vestian. It's been shown in the industrial battles that Bob Crowe mentioned. Mandelson came forward as the new great white hope for the working class in the Labour Party conference itself. This is the man, by the way, when he was asked over his first loan, when he was an MP before, and the previous parliamentary inquiry took place, when he was served, he said, well, he got a loan for his mortgage. His only reply was, well, I didn't realise it was a loan. So a mortgage is not a loan. It's absolutely shameful what is taking place in the parliamentary Labour Party. It's a new kleptocracy. It's no difference to the Stalinist nomenclatura. They have no connections now with ordinary working class people itself. And remember, we are facing... within a matter of months, 6, 9 months, one of the greatest challenges to the British working class. You have to give one thing to Cameron. He's made it absolutely clear. He will take the sword to public services, to councils, to the firemen. They're even trying to create scab armies to actually break the firemen, to break even on the tube. Don't rule out that Johnson, under the aegis of a new Tory government, could attempt to move in that particular direction. In fact, there's going to be the greatest attack on public services in Britain, probably since the immediate period before the general strike. 1922 Geddes report that sketched out a savage attack on the public sector and led 4 years later to a general strike. And implicit in this situation in Britain, in fact throughout the whole of Europe at the present time, is the possibility of a general strike. And what is the answer of the trade union leaders in this situation? We must come behind Labour. While they're kicking the working class in the teeth, Billy Hayes appears on the television. He's challenged. You've given £7 million to Labour. Why don't you disaffiliate? He refuses to answer on Newsnight, even though his own members have voted overwhelmingly in London in favour of disaffiliation from the Labour Party. And what is the argument that they put forward? The enemy is at the gate. We do not diminish the threat that's coming from the Tories. Tory Geddon, as it's been described, if you like, before working people at the present time. Armageddon, as far as the working class and the Labour movement is concerned. We don't disguise the danger that is posed. Yes, but this idea of lesser evilism, Brown is horrible, but he's much more preferable to Cameron. Think about the implications of that. Think about the future for the Labour movement and the working class. We buy that argument, we come behind New Labour. Cameron is victorious in the election. The argument will then be, well, we've got Cameron in power, he must unite behind Labour for the next general election. But when that general election is posed, afterwards we'll say, well, we're too weak, we have to remain behind the rump of the Labour Party.
and you end up where the pendulum swings towards the right. You end up with the situation that we have in America today, where one worker quoted in the Observer, against the background of this terrible situation that exists for working class people, where he says poor people just don't have the political clout to lobby and get what they need in the way that Wall Street does. The reason for that is because their choice is between the Republicans and the Democrats. They have no mass Labour Party. We have no mass Labour Party. We have to have a challenge in the forthcoming general election in Britain. This is why the position of Bob Crowe, again stated here at this meeting today, is 100% correct. Why it was correct for us to stand in no to the EU as a preparation for this battle. Why it's correct for us to argue against the ideas of lesser evilism. It's not just a lost opportunity, it's extremely dangerous not to put up a challenge in this general election. I say that because the BNP are knocking at the door. The BNP have won their votes, not largely through former middle-class voters, but have made gains in former Labour areas. Disenchanted workers, appealing to them on social issues and so on. The only way that we'll be able to counter this, or one of the ways, is to put forward an electoral alternative. In Germany, the left party has cut the ground from under the feet of the fascists or the far right in the elections there. It's not an end in itself. It's not a final answer to the problems which exist. The left party in Germany, the left party is even flirting with the ideas of coalitionism at the present time. But at the same time, it represents a point of reference. It represents a way forward for working people at this particular moment in time. Unless a socialist alternative is put forward, this crisis will wreak havoc in the lives of working people, and not just on the economic level. In Copenhagen, the world leaders are meeting to discuss the environment. The reality is there is no alternative. They can come up for you, the new generation, the next generation, that can begin to solve the problems of the environment. The capitalists are now a little bit like the 19th century capitalists, when they feared typhoid in the working class areas, so they were compelled to take measures, not to protect working class people, but to protect themselves. So they live in this world, and they make noises about the environment. But on the basis of capitalism, as Stern pointed out, the greatest failure of the market system is the economic and the environmental catastrophe that exists at the present time. The only solution to this problem, even Alistair Darling said, it would take what capitalism spent in the Great Depression and the Second World War to begin to address the problems. They're not going to do that. They're wreaking havoc with the world today. A loss of 5% of production in Britain forever. $10 trillion to bail out the banks internationally. 3/4 of the gross domestic product of the US is the price that we're paying for this economic catastrophe at the present time. That's why we reject this system. That's why we say the struggle on a day-to-day level must be organically connected now with the idea of socialism. What is socialism? It's a very simple idea. To take the power out of the hands of 150 monopolies that control 80 to 80% of the economy in Britain. Of 500 companies worldwide. Of 659 men predominantly who hold the power of this world in their hands. Of 3 men who have as much wealth as 600 million of the most poverty-stricken workers and peasants in the neo-colonial world, and create a society that can unleash the talents and the abilities of ordinary working people. Above all, can show a way forward for the young people who are condemned by this system. Socialism. Socialism is not a grey, anemic well, as the ideologues of capitalism say. What a short-sighted attitude that is. A terrible world is the world that's being created by capitalism. And that's why we say unequivocally, we stand for socialism, for democracy. We reject the Stalinist model that fell in 1989. This is also, by the way, the anniversary of Trotsky's birth 130 years ago. And as Judy pointed out, I'm involved in a little contretemps with Robert Serviss. Not only would he refuse to debate here at socialism on the ideas of Trotsky, I was very polite in the letter in reply to his refusal to debate. And by the way, he said, I'm not debating with the Socialist Party that has a leader like Peter Taft, who's got no skill, no ability, and so on and so forth, a leader for you to judge. We then said, okay, we'll debate with you in Moscow. Or for that matter, Judy Beeson will debate with you in Moscow. Any representative of the Socialist Party. He rejected that. So he said, okay, what about a video link-up? He agreed to it. When he knew I wasn't speaking, as soon as he heard that I wasn't speaking, he actually withdrew the invitation to speak in Moscow. You know, Trotsky once was the man who couldn't get a visa anywhere. The Socialist Party, it seems, exists in a world without debates. What are these gentlemen afraid of? They've got the whole of capitalist opinion with them. They've got the media. They've got big books, 600 pages long, which Robert Serviss wrote. To Moscow, have a quick look, home again, write a big book. They've got everything going for them. Why can't they debate and discuss? And they accuse us of being undemocratic. They accuse us of wanting to create an undemocratic world. We will debate and discuss with the ideas that we put forward, the ideas of socialism, because they're the ideas of the future. 1989, the East German masses, when they turned out in what they described as the German Demonstrating Republic, the words of the GDR, when they came out in their millions, they were with the slogan, the people are coming. In 1789, the Sans-Culottes marched to Versailles, and they said, tremble you tyrants, the people are coming. We say, this rally, the growth in the ideas of the Socialist Party and socialism in general, the growth of militant trade unionism means that the working class is coming. And this time, we will learn from the mistakes of the past. We'll learn from the experiences of our generation. And this time, we will create socialism in the 21st century, which is the music of the future to transform the peoples of the globe.